Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's going on? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside by the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. What's cracking, my friend?
Not too much. I'm excited. I'm actually going back to Wisconsin starting next weekend, so I will not be on the pod next week.
Okay.
Hopefully. Get Adam Rankin, as yes. You were saying. I mean, you guys could always call me and see what I'm up to. But
oh, he's a big-time star.
Adam Rank, he's in demand. He's all over the place.
Yes, that's exactly what happens.
Appearing on different shows. He's writing for different people in this company. You know, he's just a shooting star right now. We're lucky to be somewhat visible to him.
That is exactly right. We got MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, in the building. What's going on?
How are you feeling, Jay? You sound a little raspy today.
Do I sound raspy?
Yeah. Well, you're wrapped up.
I'm all wrapped up.
Raspy.
Like James is out here punching walls and messing up his wrist or something. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Claims it was boxing.
Boxing.
I look a little ridiculous. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, for the listeners, James has his wrist wrapped in, like,
it's all wrapped up.
Black?
It's actually my boxing hand wrapped because I don't have an actual wrist.
Oh, I actually thought it was one of those. That was one of the, like, NBA James Harden shooting gloves.
Oh, because it's got the Velcro. Yeah. No, it's the hand wraps that go on the on the hand and inside the glove. But it's the only thing I have. My wrist is killing me, man. I hit the heavy bag wrong, and I was like, oh, okay, well, this is why I'm old. So I look a little ridiculous right now, but that's okay. We got a great show in front of us here today. Oh, we got producer Christina in the building. What's up?
What up?
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
What is that? What hat is that? A
penguin.
It's a Penguin's hat.
She's got all sorts of sports gear on today.
Okay. All over the place.
Kentucky shirt, Penguin's hat.
You have a Penguin's hat. A Kentucky Wildcats shirt on.
Yep.
Okay. All right. You didn't get the memo on the not crossing the sports.
I don't follow that.
It's also like, you know, look, the good news is Kentucky and the Penguins will never run into each other.
Exactly.
That's true.
They're never going to play each other. It's not possible.
That is true. I feel if this was the Dave Damashek podcast, he would do a what if. What if they played each other? And who would win in a fight between a penguin and a wild?
I'm going to go wildcat all the way.
Easily.
Okay.
Who would ever pick penguin?
Who knows? Hey, maybe it's in the Arctic.
That's true.
Okay?
Home field advantage.
You know what I'm saying?
Very true.
Okay. I don't know. All right. Got a great show.
After that start.
We're going to do introduce this roster reset series that they got going on at NFL.com. I love it because
it's great.
I mean, the thing is, so many things have happened in the NFL, and of course we hit on it when it does happen. But I even catch myself now thinking, you know, when I run across it, it's like, oh yeah, that guy's on that team now.
Oh, I'm doing that a lot because I'm in the process.
Happens all the time.
I know, Adam Rank put out his top 200. Michael Fabiano has his. I know Alex is putting his together. As I'm looking, going through mine, I'm like, oh, yeah, where's this guy again? And like having to Google and look at rosters and be like, oh, yeah, this guy's here now.
Well, and the roster reset's just a good thing, too, because like coaching hires were so long ago, too, now.
Oh, my gosh.
And offensive coordinators
like
and defensive
ago.
Coordinators are changed staffs,
right,
and there's
exactly.
new players. So it's a great thing our talented around the NFL staff puts together, and we're going to take a little fantasy spin on it.
Yeah, so I figured it's timely. It's definitely a good time to do that. There's a little bit of a lull now. In the NFL, MG was talking about some interesting tweets that we get. It's like, wow, there's really no news.
There's really nothing going on.
We just doing the NFC East today, or are we going to hit more of them?
I thought we'd just do the NFC All East. Right. You know, if today's a little bit of a shorter podcast, yeah, you never know.
Well, so I shouldn't mention that Michael Campanaro just signed a deal with the Titans?
That's not the NFC East.
That's what
but
I'm
we'll
saying.
Put it in breaking news.
All right, sweet.
You could put it in news. I guess Michael Campanaro? Sure. Why the hell not?
If you want to follow along at home with the series as well, NFL.com/roster reset will take you to the latest one, and they've got tabs for all the different divisions. I think actually they have, one left? I think they have one left
to do. They've done them all, yeah.
AFC South might be the last one.
AFC South's coming up. All right, so there you go.
By the way, I can't ever say Campanero without thinking about The Simpsons.
Canyonero.
Campanero. All right, sorry.
We're all over the place today. Definitely a fantasy podcast in April.
Ignore me. Just go on about what
we've got some Wildcat v. Penguin fights. We got a little Canyonero acapella.
Wow.
Got some great wrist talk earlier in the show.
Great wrist talk. Yes. Perfect. Speaking of the AFC South, Andrew Luck officially throwing again.
Don't we have drops to use?
Oh,
now.
Yes.
What
I'm
are you doing,
so
man.
Geez, wow. Okay, let's get to the news.
Oh, my God, the news.
We really do have breaking news.
Hey, did you guys know that the Eagles, the Patriots, are playing in the Super Bowl?
That is breaking news.
Breaking news.
News. I'm still getting used to the drops.
Yep.
Clearly.
It's all right.
So there you go. AFC South. We're talking about the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck officially throwing again. Kind of, sort of. How do you officially throw? Kind of. Reports are that he's throwing footballs. Footballs that are not NFL sized.
So this begs the question, like, what size are they? Are they like the little mini footballs you get for 99 cents at the store?
Bro,
is he throwing Nerf
footballs?
Is it a vortex?
I hope he's throwing Nerf vortexes.
Those things were great.
And just to build confidence, you know, it's like, oh, man, look how far I'm throwing it.
Right, I loved being a kid with those Nerf vortexes and chucking it and being like, I'm John Elway.
Woo!
Does he get one of the ones that has the whistle sound, too? So you can just...
Oh,
those were great.
That'd be great. That would be awesome, man. That's what I hope he's throwing. It's probably something.
Probably an actual football. It's probably, that's just small.
Yeah, junior sized or something.
Right.
That's something boring.
This is still worrisome from a fantasy perspective, because when Luck was healthy those last few years, he was lights out. He was like an easy lock for like a top four elite fantasy scorer. But that offense has changed a lot, too.
A lot. A lot.
Like, there are not – that team's in an absolute rebuild, and there are not a lot of great weapons there for him. So if he comes back late or he's not his old self, I feel like a lot of people might still be wanting to chase Andrew Luck based on the name and what he's done in the past. But I think there's a lot better quarterbacks to look after in fantasy than Luck right
also,
now.
Also, I mean, legitimately – and I know it was Luck himself that was saying this the other day, but after what the Colts – put us through. I mean, remember this time last year, there was talk that Andrew Luck could possibly start week one.
That's
everything
exactly
goes right.
That's exactly
so,
right.
So, pardon me if I am very skeptical about this whole
thing. The Colts are the worst. I mean, this is Bill Belichickian. You know what I mean? Like,
no, Belichick would have been like, we're not talking about that.
Maybe. Or they just put out fake reports about him playing week one and just continually not playing. You know, it's so silly. You're right. I mean, he was supposedly, you know, close to coming back, maybe, possibly, in week one. Then it was like, yeah, you know, he'll probably miss the first month, and he'll be good to go. I mean, the guy wasn't even throwing footballs all of last
year.
Crazy.
Remember at some point Chuck Pagano was saying, yeah, I really don't even know what he's doing.
Oh, that's right. I think, what was his quote? I stay in my lane.
I stay like you.
Bro, your lane is to know about the franchise quarterback, bro. What are you doing? No, but you're Alex, you're right. This is a guy that I think a lot of people will chase that upside. I'm sure there will be, knowing the Colts, I'm sure there will be positive, glowing reports in the upcoming months here. But, again, he's not throwing an NFL football. Any video we've seen of him, it's all just real, real, real light tossing. And so to me, it's just, you know, when we get to draft season, I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, yeah, I guess the upside could be a top five quarterback, I guess. But that's a long shot.
There's so many good options.
There's so
right
many
now.
Good options,
I mean,
man.
You just run them through the top of your head. Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Brady, Wentz, Breeze, Cousins, Watson.
Watson. Like, give me Watson all day long.
You can probably get him at a little bit of a discount right now, too. And then you've still got guys we didn't even mention, like Stafford, Matt Ryan. Like, there's a lot of feasible quarterbacks to saddle yourself with instead of taking the risk on Luck.
It's almost – I don't know how gung-ho, you know, drafters will be about Andrew Luck, but I can almost guarantee you he's going to be priced out for what I want to pay for Andrew Luck. So there you go. Take that as you will. Jordan Matthews found a new home. It's in New England. It's a one-year deal. He can earn up to $1.7 million, but only $170,000 is guaranteed. 10% of his contract is guaranteed. If he doesn't show something in camp, he could absolutely be a cut candidate before the season starts.
This was kind of a weird acquisition for me. I'm assuming it's just the Patriots doing that Patriot thing where they pick up random guys and are like, hey, if he's better than we thought or we can find a great role for him, great. But like Jordan Matthews is pretty much primarily a slot receiver, and that's a role that's very duplicative right now. Like, they don't need it. They have Edelman coming back. They have Amendola still. So I would venture to guess that Matthews isn't going to be on the team, or if he is, it's not going to be of a significant value for fantasy purposes.
It makes me wonder what the health situation is for those two other gentlemen that you just mentioned, because let's be honest here, those two guys are not necessarily the model of health in the NFL.
But on the flip side, Jordan Matthews hasn't. That's a good.
Yeah, really. If you're looking to replace your not models of health, Jordan Matthews was the wrong guy to hire.
That's a great point, actually. That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, from a fantasy perspective, I mean, you know, what are you getting from Jordan Matthews? I can't imagine he's going to be draft worthy at all. But certainly, anything that happens up in New England is worth talking about, and here we are doing that. The Saints. They signed Cameron Meredith to a 2-year, $9.6 million offer sheet, $5.4 million guaranteed. Now, the Bears can match by today.
Breaking news.
Has it happened?
They have said that they will not match.
They will not.
Whoa.
So Cameron Meredith is a Saint.
You know, it's funny. I didn't think that they would because the guaranteed money is not huge, but how do they view Cameron Meredith? You know what I'm saying? He's coming off of a major injury. Do they want to kind of lock up that kind of money into a guy that they probably feel like they could replace relatively easily through the draft? So I don't know. But, okay, so Cameron Meredith now. He's on the Saints. Team up Drew Brees, playing opposite of Michael Thomas, supposedly, I guess. So, I mean, what's the value here for Cameron Meredith? Are we excited by this move?
We would have been more excited if this was the Saints of like 3-4 years ago when there was a lot more volume in the passing game to go around.
650 times. And
yeah. Right. But now with this team running through the engine of Kamara and Ingram, there's not as much left over, especially after Michael Thomas is going to get his, which he will because he's fantastic. But I think Cameron Meredith will at least be worth a later round dart throw because he
100%.
Was really good in that last year with the Bears before he got injured in 2016. He was like a legit number one, lining up outside, lining up in the slot, taking on top cornerbacks. So if he can get into a more sizable role, you know, like that number two role opposite Michael Thomas this past year was a hodgepodge of Ted Ginn, Willie Snead, pour some out for him,
Willie Snead,
among other guys. So there's certainly room for Meredith to be successful. It'll be a tough week-to-week gambit, but it could be one of those things where in games where they might project to be more high-scoring, Meredith is somebody we want to look to throw in the flex or pick up in DFS.
I want to see what his reliability is underneath because I think they have a need. I mean, obviously they were, you know, they wanted Willie Snead to fill that role. He did not.
He did not.
He did not do that in 2017. But can Cameron Meredith fill that role, right? Because we know Michael Thomas can do everything. He can go down the sideline. He can go upfield. He can go underneath if he needs to. He's a touchdown maker. He does it all. But they need that reliable number two guy that Drew Brees has consistently used to pick apart defenses that maybe play off a little too much. You know what I mean? It keeps defenses honest. So if he can find that, a little bit of explosiveness that he had in Chicago before the injury, I'm very intrigued by this signing because he is one of those oversized slot guys. That's pretty good.
It is, and
especially in this offense.
It's becoming a thing now around the league. We're starting to see some more of that around the league. My concern is, you know, as Alex mentioned, the target volume has gone down in that offense now that they've got a couple of really good running backs who can also catch the ball. I mean, Alvin Kamara had 100 targets last year.
And Mark Ingram had like
71.
70.
He had 71, right? So that's 171 targets to your running backs alone.
Right. In a passing attack where the volume was down.
Was down.
Yeah.
And add to it that, you know, as we know, Drew Brees is notorious for generally spreading the ball around. Like, yeah, he'll have one or two guys that he likes.
That's true.
We seem to know Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram seem to be the guys that he likes, which means for all the talent and ability Cameron Meredith may have, he really is still fighting for scraps in that offense.
It's more of maybe it's a really good real-life football move. Fantasy, maybe not so much.
Yeah, not huge. Oh, and for context of these numbers, like we keep talking about, here are Drew Brees's, we'll just do it since 2010, his pass attempt numbers.
Okay.
658, 657, 670, 650, 659, 627, 673, 2017, 536.
Boo! Man!
Woo!
That's a drop. And to contextualize that's probably roughly a drop on average of about 120 some targets. that's like a number two wide receiver. Like, if you remember a couple years ago, Harmon wrote that nice article about how for fantasy we want to try to target receivers that are going to get at least 120 targets.
120 is it.
It's a whole wide receiver just gone.
Just gone.
And then, as Marcus mentioned, 170 of those 530 targets go to the RBs. Slim pickings for the ancillary options after the running backs and Michael Thomas.
Very slim pickings there. But, again, I think it's a good real-life move, but for fantasy, maybe not too relevant. All right, can we talk about Jordan? I wish Adam Rank was here, actually.
I don't think he wants to talk about this right now.
What is going on?
Or he would filibuster us for the next half hour.
What is going on with Jordan Howard? The big story, you know, a few days ago was that he deleted all of his Bears-related picks off of the IG. And then
sending Bears fans and Bears blogs into a complete and utter tizzy.
Absolute madhouse. But then a few days later, he reloaded some of those picks. Not all of them, some of those picks. But fans and bloggers and reporters covering the team, as Alex mentioned, in a tizzy, it's just rampant speculation.
Man.
That a trade is in the works.
Hashtag shut up and draft.
It doesn't, per some plugged in people, though.
Okay.
Like all that speculation, I think a couple good, well-sourced beat reporters in the Chicago area threw cold water on it. And Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport, our own NFL Network insider, said it's not happening. But I was kind of surprised because as I was doing my top 200, I feel like I know Jordan Howard has skillets for hands and is like cross-eyed when the ball comes near him in the passing game.
Cannot do it.
The man is a talented running back, and I think with that style that Matt Nagy's going to bring, and that gets a little his running backs going downhill a little bit more, could really suit Jordan Howard well. And like, he might not catch a lot of passes, but I mean, he had over 1,000 yards and like 8 or 9 touchdowns each of the last 2 years on a bad Bears offense. What's going to happen now with Nagy and Allen Robinson and Trey Burton helping opening things up? Oh, yeah. I think Howard could be an unsexy, like, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdown pickup.
So my playing devil's advocate to that and kind of counterpoint.
That's not allowed. I made my point. Move on.
I apologize. But the counterpoint is seeing what Tariq Cohen did last year and knowing what his abilities are and wondering – I think it becomes incumbent upon Jordan Howard to kind of assert himself more in the passing game. And not necessarily have to be, like, a big-time pass catcher, but – be enough of a pass catcher so that when you're out on the field, the defense has to at least think about that as an option. Remember, because that was kind of the big knock on Adrian Peterson in New Orleans, is that when he was on the field, they knew what they were going to do. And so if Jordan Howard isn't catching the football, then suddenly it becomes,
he's not catching the football.
Well, then it becomes Tariq Cohen, who can do both. You put him out there, you can disguise what you're doing a little bit more offensively.
Okay.
Maybe he'll get better. We haven't quite had the Adrian Peterson level I'm going to get 50 catches this year narrative with Jordan Howard. Maybe this will be the first year. We'll wait and see.
It's not.
But
he caught 23 last year.
He's so bad catching the football. It's unreal how bad he is.
You've been driving this train for a long time. But I will say with Cohen, too, this backfield should be really interesting for fantasy purposes with Matt Nagy there. But 22 of Tariq Cohen's 87 runs went for negative yardage last year, and
that's
4 went for no gain.
That's not
so good. Roughly 30% of his yards did not go past the line of scrimmage.
So basically, he's going to be the pass catcher.
He's
going to
be the
and Jordan Howard will be the rushing.
Or it's like they'll look for somebody else, or one of those guys is going to be asked to improve their skill set. And I would think that learning how to catch for a professional football player might be a little easier than not gaining no yards.
Exactly right. No, you're right there. Look, if Jordan Howard is on this Bears team again, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, and we're all really excited about all the things that Chicago has done. Jordan Howard was a pretty darn good football fantasy player last year as well. Where does he go in this upcoming draft if everything holds right now?
Let's look at some ADP because there are monsters that are drafting already.
We
go to Fantasy Football Calculator. You do Fantasy Football Calculator, I'll go to my fantasy league. But I think he's going in like the
back end of
third
the second
round, maybe even. Because I feel like people are chasing the not even chasing is the wrong word, but they're going after like Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara first and wide receivers. All right, give me just 2 seconds here.
I guess that's the thing, is that there weren't too many wide receivers that, I don't know, just went ham last year. You know what I mean? Like, obviously the top guys are going to be gone off the top of the draft board. David Johnson is going to be making a comeback as well. But I still think people are going to get, you know, I think people are still going to try to get Jordan Howard in the late second, early third, third round.
On Fantasy Football Calculator, he is at 204. He's tied with Devontae Freeman. They're both fourth pick, second round.
Mid second round ish.
In 10-team league.
And in my fantasy league, across all their drafts, he's going with a 34th pick.
Okay, so that's fourth round.
Fourth round in 10-team, third round in 12 teams.
Wow. End of the third. That's interesting. Okay.
I think a lot of people are you know, he doesn't catch passes. They might be concerned about that. But he could still plug away. And if you're going to get over 1,000 rushing yards and close to 10 touchdowns from a running back, that's very valuable.
You know, the thing I liked about Jordan Howard last year, too, was the fact that he was I don't even want to say – I mean, he was durable, but, I mean, he was always kind of dinged up, but played through it. He was a tough SOB last year.
There were several of those weeks where people were, like, fretting it so hard, like, because he had the shoulder injury, like, they didn't practice all week.
That's what I'm saying.
And then he'd go out with, like, 36 carries and a buck 34 and a touchdown. It's like, what are you doing?
What's happening? Yeah,
you insane person.
I know, man.
It's like fourth quarter and overtime, and he's running people over with his busted shoulder.
That's what I love. I love that about him. I absolutely love that about him. I mean, he's a classic old school between the tackles running back for sure.
He's somebody I'm certainly going to have my eye on as we get closer to draft. And see where his value is, and if I think he might be a steal or appropriately valued, that kind of stuff.
Man, I tell you what, man, I would feel a hell of a lot better about Jordan Howard as my RB2.
Oh yeah.
Lead back,
that's a little dicey. But
yeah, you know what I mean.
If you go more of a zero RB thing and you pick him up in the third round, though, that's still not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad either. All right, let's get to the roster reset series. NFL.com/roster reset. It basically sums up all the major roster changes. They go
division. And there have been a lot.
Oh my God, there's been so many. It's unbelievable. They go division by division. The around the NFL guys most recently, well, I guess not most recently, they did look at the NFC East, so we shall tackle the NFC East as well. So many significant adds and basically break down what it all means in fantasy. Again, just as a kind of a reminder of what is happening in football.
So can I blow up your rundown a little bit here, James?
Please.
So really nicely.
Do you have more breaking news?
Well, not necessarily breaking news, but a developing story.
Oh, ooh. Developing.
Developing story, since we're talking the NFC East.
Yes.
There's reports that Dez Bryant and Jerry Jones are going to sit down on Friday.
Okay.
And the talk could
What does
be
that mean?
That Dez gets cut.
What?
There is talk that Dez Bryant could be a free agent as soon as Friday.
Oh, my.
That is a big roster reset.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I'm trying to find some reports right now. This is
Who's reporting that on Twitter.com?
Well, I know Jacina Anderson at ESPN had some stuff about it. There's been a lot of scuttlebutt. I just like to use the word scuttlebutt. that Dez Bryant could be experiencing his last few days as a Cowboy.
There's basically a lot of talk right now, I guess, on the old Twitter.com. That Jerry and Dez are going to meet to talk about Dez's contract, and that Jerry doesn't necessarily want to cut him, but if Dez is not willing to work out a more, I guess, market value deal, because, you know, again, $16.5 million is his cap number. That's,
I mean, I think they will.
It's a big number.
They will ask him for a pay cut first.
That's what I'm saying. And Dallas is hurting as always. On the salary cap side. So, interesting.
I mean, there's been speculation about that for a while. Dez, and, you know, as we've talked about on here, and Harmon, I know, is going through
we've
and
been
doing
beating that down.
Which is sad, but, like, Dez could still be a very, very productive player, I think, if he changes his role a little bit. But I know Harmon put Dez through the reception ringer, and
uh-oh,
the results were
not good.
Not pretty.
Uh-oh.
Not pretty on the outside.
Oh, boy.
But that wide receiver room, they were probably going to draft somebody anyways, and if they really feel like they might be in their best interest to get some fresh blood in there, go with. But if they cut Dez Bryant, they lost Bryce Butler to the Cardinals, and that puts Terrence Williams.
Alan Hearns.
Alan Hearns.
Terrence Williams and Alan Hearns
as
their 1-2 combination.
Atta baby.
With Jason Witten still cruising around out there in the middle of the field.
Okay, you had two things. What's the other thing?
That was it.
Oh, that was it?
That was it.
Okay. I feel
that wasn't enough.
I'll give you.
That wasn't enough for
you. I thought you said two things.
No.
Okay. That's good. All right, let's start with the Giants, shall we? They added left tackle Nate Solder from the New England Patriots. A huge deal.
They needed line so badly.
Oh, my God. so bad. Eric Flowers expected to move to the right side, I believe. And he was just a revolving door at left tackle. It was just, oh my God, it was so bad. So yes, they may have overspent a little bit on Solder, but that's okay. They absolutely needed the help on the offensive line. He has been rock solid for the New England Patriots. So a good acquisition, in my mind anyways, for the New York Giants. They also added a speculative wide receiver in Cody Latimer.
That's a special teamers.
That's a first-round draft pick.
That's probably
no, he was a second-round
draft. Oh, was he a second-rounder?
I believe Cody Latimer was the last person left in the green room that draft in the second round.
That's mostly a move for special teams. That's kind of where he made his bones in Denver.
Well, Brandon Marshall's getting up there, and if, Shepard and Beckham
are... Brandon Marshall still on that
team? He is still on the roster.
Currently still on the team, yes.
He's still on the roster.
But he's 34 years old and coming off of a season-ending injury, so who knows. I think Latimer, because he didn't have much production in Denver, there were always reports of
he couldn't get on the field.
There were reports of him not gelling well with Peyton Manning early on and that kind of affecting his confidence and stuff. So it could just be they're taking a shot on a young, talented guy. I mean, he's 6'2", 215. He was very productive in college.
Super productive.
He could be a nice fit there. I'm not saying we need to go scoop him up in fantasy.
No.
But
just a name to highlight. Not necessarily you're going to draft the guy, but just be aware that this kid, Cody Latimer, was extremely productive in college, was, as Alex mentioned, a second-round draft pick, so a high draft pick as well. So, obviously Denver saw something in the tape there, but he just couldn't get on the field. I just felt like he didn't have a well-defined role with Denver. Demaryius Thomas was there on the outside. They hardly ever, obviously once you add Emmanuel Sanders as well, where's the target share? So he just couldn't really get on the field. I wonder if this is a fresh start for him. Good athlete is Cody Latimer, so I'm at least intrigued. Danger zone intrigued.
Uh-oh.
By Cody Latimer.
Danger zone.
The Giants also added running back Jonathan Stewart for some unknown
Gettleman,
this?
Man. It's the moment he got cut in Carolina and Gettleman went to New York, I'm like, I bet you this is going to happen.
Why did they add? What are you guys doing?
Veteran presence.
It's so absurd.
You have a veteran presence.
We had talked about this before.
You draft Saquon at two.
This is absurd.
And then you can have Jonathan Stewart be the mentor to Saquon?
Look.
Man, I'm spitballing here. I got nothing.
When you can sign a 31-year-old running back whose yards per game and yards per attempt have decreased in each of the last 3 years.
Career lows!
You got to do it.
You got to go do it.
You got to do it.
This move was puzzling. The Giants have a disastrous running back room right now. Wayne Gallman showed some stuff.
They could have re-signed Orleans Darkwall at a lower number. And I think that would have been actually better.
Probably, but it's a familiarity thing. Gettleman's getting a guy he knows.
It's crazy.
They'll certainly draft a running back. I think them drafting Saquon at two is crazy. But
I'm not saying
I'm
not saying that I would do it. But it's a thing that could happen.
Why is it? I'm confused by this. Why is that not a good? If he's the best talent, player.
Do you think he's so much better than the other running backs in this class that you would? That you feel like you have to take him at two instead of waiting until later and maybe getting somebody.
I guess my counter argument to that is, you can make that argument about anybody. Who's this offensive guard out of Notre Dame that's going to go super?
Quentin Nelson.
Is he so much better? I don't know. I don't do offense.
If I'm the Giants,
I don't know.
I'm taking a quarterback.
Yes.
That's,
absolutely.
Yes.
Eli's barely hanging on as it is.
My God, by a thread.
Right.
just by a thread. No, you're right. Look, they have a serious need at quarterback. I'm not saying that they don't, but there have been so many. It's funny. What I'm confused by is how do we always forget there have been so many teams that have passed on great players. To take a swing and a miss on a quarterback.
Because you have to have a quarterback. I think it was Chris Wessling on the Around the NFL podcast made this, and I think it was from Thomas Dimitroff, the GM of the Falcons, who said,
"Okay,
the quest for a quarterback consumes you until you have one, and you have to do everything you can, and you have to keep making those chances to get one, because otherwise you're stuck in NFL purgatory." And the Giants right now...
We could go back and forth on this all day, but I don't agree with that at all.
But the Giants have had a great run with Eli Manning here. They've been blessed with a fantastic starting quarterback for the last 14 years, basically.
Sure.
And now they have an opportunity to secure a quarterback for the future.
Unless they don't think one of those guys is that guy.
I just don't think
you know what
take,
I mean?
I don't think you take Barkley here, because then if Eli's done next year and you don't have an answer at quarterback, but
then what?
Then you're gonna have Barkley try and win you games.
Well, no, then there's next year's draft, as we've mentioned.
But what if
next year's draft is always better?
They could easily like stumble into 6 or 7 wins, and then they're not as high, and then they have to mortgage more picks, and it's like you've given the chance right now to take your future. You go get him. That's like what the Colts did with Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
You know, when they had Manning was hurt.
Yeah.
They probably could have just stuck with Manning and brought him back and not taking Luck and gotten those last two, three years out of Manning.
Yeah.
By the way,
yes.
I mean, just going back and looking, I know this isn't fantasy, but
okay.
The last 15 Super Bowls, mm-hmm. 14 of them have been won by teams that arguably had a franchise quarterback. And I know that Nick Foles played in the Super Bowl for the Eagles, but they had Carson Wentz, who took them a long way.
They got the number one seed and home field advantage in the playoffs because of Carson Wentz.
The 1 year is probably Joe Flacco.
Okay.
Every other year, the quarterback of the winning team was a guy easily considered to be a franchise quarterback.
That's true. But, I mean, again, what round are these quarterbacks even taking, right? So, like, I'm thinking about Russell Wilson being in the third round. I mean, obviously Tom Brady a million times.
Big Ben, one. Manning, one.
Okay.
Manning, one. Brady, six.
Well,
Rodgers, one. Breeze, yeah. Second?
Yeah. I mean, hey, even
sometimes
Rodgers
fall ass backwards into a franchise quarterback. That didn't happen.
But even Rodgers went late in the first, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? If the Giants want to move back into the end of the first round and take a guy like Lamar Jackson or something, I'd be all about it. That being said, if they love Darnold and Darnold's there too, because there's all these reports now that Josh Allen might be going one overall.
That makes my head hurt.
If that happens, I'm all about that too. So I don't know. I don't know, man. Like I said, we could go back and forth on this all day long. But I think Saquon is amazing. I think he's amazing. And if they take him there, I don't think that's a bad pick at all. Redskins now. Oh, by the way, we didn't even talk about the fact that Pat Shurmur,
new head coach.
He was most recently Vikings OC, but, you know, he's going to add a little life, theoretically, to that Giants offense, which
not going to be hard after the Ben McAdoo days.
I'm old enough to remember when their last head coach was going to offer some offensive life.
Thank you. You know what I mean?
His giant Denny's menu
plays. Nope. So bad.
Do you remember? You remember when they ran the same 11 personnel in like 96%?
It was so bad.
I remember I saw that tweet. And I'm like, that can't be right. I think
that's
I looked it up.
That's
gotta be
a stat.
Like,
that's gotta be a mistake.
I looked it up. I'm like, that is absolutely correct. Nope.
I cross checked it. I went to NGS. I went to Insight. I like texted people at other websites. Like,
unbelievable.
Is this right?
Is this real? Is this real? No, it's real. No, it is real. And there's ways to run 11 personnel a lot of different ways.
They didn't, though.
But they did not, though. I mean, it was the same freaking formation all the time.
It's like the 100 ways to cook chicken cookbook somebody gave me when I graduated from college. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you can do all these different things with chicken, but at the end of the day, it's still chicken. Yeah. Like, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of weird. But I'm excited about what the Giants could potentially do if they reload here in the draft. And obviously, Pat Shurmur having influence on that offense as well. Okay, the Redskins now. They added Alex Smith. Obviously, they lost Kirk Cousins. They added Paul Richardson on the outside as a good explosive wide receiver. So what do we make of the moves here in Washington?
I mean, it kind of just felt like a lot of – I feel like they got a slight downgrade at quarterback, but otherwise it was just a lot of, like, lateral moves sort of. Like, this offense has been pretty productive for fantasy. I think we're going to have to see how everything – I think we talked about this on last week's podcast too, but how the targets shake out with a different quarterback under there. It's still going to be Jay Gruden. It's still going to be high-flying. They don't have an answer at running back
That was my question.
Because they have Chris Thompson, but he's coming off a bad injury, and he was so good last year.
So good.
Samaje Perine didn't look like the answer.
He is not the
answer. Is he going to maybe improve in year two, or are they going to go look to another one in the draft? Those will be big questions, but – the wide receiver pecking order is going to be really interesting because, you know, Smith, as we talked about, had frequently kind of funneled into some guys. There's the Vernon Davis connection still. Jordan Reed's
yes!
obviously a question, but like
– he's hurt already.
It's tough to try and assess where to draft a guy like –
Paul Richardson.
Value Paul Richardson, Josh Doctson, and Jamison Crowder because, like, on the one hand, like, Josh Doctson, all the physical tools. We saw him flash at times last year. Can he be a complete route-to-route, down-to-down receiver? Like Jamison Crowder, is he going to get the target volume over the middle and out of the slot necessary to be like relevant on a weekly basis in fantasy, or is he going to get 4 for 45 every week?
I'm going to be really interested to see how much because Alex Smith is a guy that funneled targets really to just a few guys in that KC offense. Now he goes into an offense that has not been known really to funnel targets to anybody. And maybe is it the offense? Is it the Gruden offense? Or is that Cousins? You know what I'm saying? So we get some real – we're going to have some real answers in the first couple of weeks. But right now I think it's to me, it's just a real toss-up as to what's going to happen.
And well, you know, just the last point is, look, with Smith, you look back at his past teams, there wasn't really one that was necessarily, if everybody's healthy, as deep in the pass-catching core.
Yeah, exactly. I think he funneled to a few targets because he really only had a few targets.
Yeah.
So now he's got more guys to spread the ball around to.
Paul Richardson, though, I'm excited about this move. He goes from an offense in Seattle that was, you know, freewheeling, but, you know, I don't necessarily know if it was a high-flying attack. I know Russell Wilson's a great player and all that, but Paul Richardson basically had to be second fiddle. Is he second fiddle in Washington, or is he potentially a guy that could really break out and have a great season here?
Yes. I will say this.
He's second fiddle and could break
all
out.
Of the above.
All of the above. Yes. Both things can be true.
That's true.
Between Paul Richardson and Josh Doctson,
yeah,
Washington could lead the league in, like, highlight reel, like,
you know,
leaping catches.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
between those two guys. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. The one thing I don't like about Doctson with Alex Smith is Alex Smith has shown a proclivity to just – he will not throw to covered guys. And Doctson's a little bit of a different beast because even though it looks like he's covered, a lot of times he's just not because – he is such a physical receiver at the point of attack. But will Alex Smith risk it? And to me, I think the answer is clear. That answer would be no. If that's the case, Paul Richardson could emerge as the number one wide receiver in Washington. I love the route running. Obviously, he's a guy that can go over the top as well.
They paid him decent money, too.
That's what I mean. You know what I'm saying? So not necessarily the physical specimen that Doctson is, but I just think, again, just a better complete receiver is Paul Richardson. I really think he can emerge here with Alex Smith and this Jay Gruden offense and really do some damage. I'm excited about what Paul Richardson can do. I got to see what the price is going to be.
Yeah, this is going to be.
I got to see what the price is going to be.
It's going to be a fun offense to watch in training camp and the preseason. You know, the preseason, whatever preseason. But lots of times it can help be somewhat informative, especially with these new offenses and new teams, where quarterbacks are looking. You know, how are they gelling, stuff like that. So especially that third preseason game will be a good one to watch with this offense and see how it's starting to take shape.
The Cowboys, they added Allen Hurns on the outside.
America
Barber. They also added offensive tackle Cameron Fleming, which a lot of folks have lauded as being a very good move for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not a huge offensive line guy. I mean, I know Cameron Fleming. I mean, is he great? I'm sure. Okay, great. I'll take it. But yeah, they added depth now to their offensive line that actually last year was surprisingly below average. They had lost, you know, 2/5 or 3/5 of their starting offensive line for 2 years ago, and the chemistry just wasn't there. I mean, I think they thought they had some depth, but obviously they did not. I see Alex Gellert.
I was thinking about my next point, and it was just rubbing my head. I probably need a coffee later. the Cowboys, wide receiver room. No, as we were talking about though, like, man, does this group need some work? And if they do cut Dez Bryant, it's going to be dicey for Dak and his fantasy outlook too. You know, because at least with Dez, he was still a pretty good force around the red zone. You know, he's got that big body. He's always been a physical guy like that.
Touchdown maker, man.
But you know what Allen Hurns are they getting? Are they getting the guy that was a great body control receiver in 2015,
double digit touchdowns,
deep threat, you know, could catch things really well at the sideline, scoop up errant Blake Bortles throws? Or are they getting a guy that's, you know, coming off some injuries and isn't quite the same? Terrence Williams, not a number one wide receiver.
No.
So that's dicey. Cole Beasley, they should probably get rid of. I know Harmon's been pushing for them to swap out for Ryan Switzer there.
I imagine they got to.
If you took Ryan Switzer and put him in an 11 jersey and ran him out there,
how
long before people would know?
Well, it depends how long his hair is. That was there was also what's it called, the helmet salad or whatever.
Just tell people, like, yeah, it's Bees. He's got a haircut.
Don't worry about it.
He's got a haircut. Don't worry about it. It's good.
And the trouble is, too, this rookie class, I feel like it's kind of been a consensus pick, and I've watched, I think, four or five, maybe six of these wide receivers now, is there's no, like, clear-cut, come in, be the guy wide receiver in this class. There's a lot of decent role players, but,
Absolutely.
You know.
All I can think is so many more touches for Ezekiel Elliott.
Which
so much more opportunity should
be great for his fantasy value.
I mean,
unless they start loading nine guys in the box and are like, beat us with your receivers and can't get separation.
What are you talking about, dude? Jason Witten, he's going to get out there.
106-year-old tight end.
Jason Witten's going to leak out there. They're going to get
Jason Witten, who runs like a man who just got out of the shower and forgot he left a pot on the stove.
In his home slippers.
What a description. Is he wearing the towel around his waist?
He's got the towel around his
waist, too.
So
he doesn't have full range of movement.
He literally just stepped out of the shower and was like, oh, crap, I got to go get this.
Yes. That's 100%.
He hears the water boiling over, and it's like splashing on the – making steam and hitting the fire underneath it.
No, but this offense – Alex, you're right. This offense could be an abject disaster. It really could be. I mean, even Allen Hurns, I like the signing. I like the signing a lot, as a matter of fact. If Dez Bryant changes his game just a little bit or whatever. He basically adds another piece to that offense that they sorely need, which I really like. That being said, an injury-prone guy, you know, even going back to his high school days, we're talking about Allen Hurns suffering multiple season-ending injuries. Miami, again, just multiple season-ending injuries. He's a guy that couldn't necessarily stay healthy. So he goes into Dallas. He's got a fresh, script here. He could, if he's healthy, as you mentioned, if he's healthy, could be a very nice addition to the Cowboys passing attack. But if he doesn't pan out, if Dez Bryant, loses another step, Jason Witten's still out there, and they're trying to force feed him balls. Where does the scoring come from? And if that's the case, I'd be much more worried about Ezekiel Elliott. I'm definitely going to be more worried about Dak Prescott in terms of volatility from a week-to-week basis.
The trouble is, too, a lot of scoring opportunities from running backs are predicated on getting the ball close.
Got to get
the ball
into
the red zone.
Got to get it there.
If your passing offense is suspect, it's a lot harder to move the ball and get in there. However, like, not to be completely down in the dumps for Cowboys fans, like, if Hurns does return to that form, great. If they get Dez to take a pay cut, maybe slide more inside a little bit, could be really good. They've also got some talent at tight end if they want to stop trotting out 108-year-old Jason Witten. They've got Rico Gathers, who Dynasty Fantasy Twitter is always
great
up in
athlete.
Arms about.
Great
athlete. He's 6'6", 290, only 24 years old. Yeah. Phenomenal athlete.
Unbelievable athlete.
Like, he could be a nightmare if they start implementing him a little
but
bit
they
more.
Won't.
Probably not, but let's just say there is a rosier scenario where this could all come together.
I mean, I'm sorry if I'm a little skeptical about Jason Garrett making adjustments. Not necessarily known to make adjustments.
I mean, it's not like he has a lengthy track record of doing nothing to that effect, James, that you're basing your conclusion off of.
That's the only reason. If it was a guy that was more apt to, make changes and be more dynamic with the play calling or whatever, I'm all about that life, but Jason Witten coming back. Jason Garrett's still there. They're still going to trot him out there, man. It's going to be unfortunate. All right, the Philadelphia Eagles, they added Michael Bennett. They added Haloti Ngata to that defensive line. And they added wide receiver Mike Wallace, but lost tight end Trey Burton. Although
they lost Torrey Smith, too.
They lost Torrey Smith as well.
But I think they got better Torrey Smith.
They got better Torrey Smith.
They got Mike Wallace.
Exactly. You're 100% right. Trey Burton, even though he will be – a lot of folks are going to be excited about him in Chicago, wasn't a big piece in this particular offense anyway. So not huge. But can we talk about the Eagles' defense, at least from a fantasy perspective? They already had a great defensive line. They add Michael Bennett. They add Haloti Ngata, who obviously is near the end of his career, but still a great depth add. For an Eagles defensive line that was terrorizing quarterbacks last year.
I mean, their defense is going to be good, but the problem is they're up at one of the higher scoring units. They and the Rams and others will probably get way overdrafted this year. So I think the sharper move is going to be pivoting off of taking those guys in the 8th, 9th, 10th round where you're going to see them start going in more casual leagues and waiting and taking a unit like the Saints, for instance.
Interesting.
Who had a pretty frisky defense last year, and they could add to it in the first round of this draft. They really don't.
If they don't
go and take like the heir apparent to Drew Brees in the first round, like if they go and get another defensive end, like Adam Rank was just working on his mock draft he's writing up for the website, I think it'll be coming soon, and talking about flipping the pick and having the Saints take like a Marcus Davenport or a Harold Landry, get another defensive end.
Interesting.
You know, then if you've got Cameron Jordan, you've got a young rookie like that, you've got Marshawn Lattimore, whew, all of a sudden that defense might be cooking a little bit.
This is why I like talking to you guys.
So I think there are going to be
advising the listeners out there that, hey, don't be that guy that overpays and overdrafts the Philadelphia Eagles defense.
Defensive scoring, too, fluctuates a lot. And, like, the gap between that top scoring unit and, like, the 15th scoring unit usually is – small on a week-to-week basis, and fantasy is a weekly game, so wasting a pick where you could get a potential breakout star running back or wide receiver on one of these high-end defenses like the Eagles, Rams, Jags that are going to be flashy in the drafts, sit and wait, take somebody else.
The one reason I like taking defense, not necessarily eighth, ninth round, but I'm saying higher than I think most quote-unquote sharps, right, is the fact that, well, who are you playing with? If you're playing with a bunch of buddies that they may or may not make 20 moves all season, it's such a great strategy to wait on quarterback and wait on defense. But if you're playing in a hyper-competitive league, it's always interesting to me because it's like everyone's like, yeah, let's wait on quarterback and I'm just going to stream it. Bro, if there's 12 guys doing that, what – I mean, what's the – you know, you're – I guess the problem with that strategy is, okay, well, everyone's doing that now. It's such a smart strategy if you're one of a few people doing that in your league.
I think when we talk about that strategy, but any strategy really, it is all based on, you know, to sound all highfalutin, market inefficiencies, right?
Like, yes.
It's great.
Right.
When everybody's rushing out to get a quarterback in the fifth round, yeah, you sit back and you wait. And
yeah,
you
yeah.
let somebody else fall to you. But if everybody – it's the money ball theory, right? Like the A's were putting together a good team and they were getting, you know, low price, get on base, get walks, get those kind of guys. And made the A's competitive, right? And then everybody else was like, oh,
hey, you know what? We should
kind
start
of works,
doing that.
Right? Yeah. Now the A's suck again. Like, you know, so, you know, it's like knowing what everybody else is doing.
I think that's always my biggest piece of advice to try to give people, especially when it comes to July and everybody's asking for stuff, is know your league. That's why it benefits to play in a league with people you've known for a while and like stay in leagues for several years because you build up a league history and it gives you a strategic advantage.
Sure.
Like, you know, I know in my main league, my league of record, quarterbacks always come at a premium. It's just the way the league has always been.
Yep.
It's 6 point for passing touchdown. Like, play with a lot of old school guys that from, you know, this is my dad's league from when he was doing it and filling out taking a box score from the newspaper, hand tabulating results and mailing them out to everybody. So there's a lot of guys from that era, and, you know, they like to get their quarterback early. So I know I can always wait on a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I do, and it's one of our draft narratives now. Like, I'll be looking at the board like, oh, when's Alex going to take a quarterback? It's round nine, hasn't taken a quarterback still.
Hasn't done it.
Round 12, still hasn't. So knowing your league is ultra important because like you said too, James, if I'm in that league and all of us are still waiting on a quarterback and freaking, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees haven't been taken in round
nine
or
something.
Go pluck one of those.
Yeah,
give me that guy.
Go get one.
Give me that guy. You know what I'm saying? So I just think it's interesting to me sometimes. You know, we talk about, you know, weight on defenses. And again, I'm not saying, you know, spend a single-digit draft pick on a defense. Although I tell you what, I do play in a league where you only get 18 moves on the season. That's it. And then you're capped. If you don't take defense early,
you're stuck.
You're stuck, right, bro, because you can't stream. You can't stream quarterback. That's why quarterbacks go way early. Defenses go way early. You can't stream that position. First of all, I love playing that way because it's just kind of like it adds value to where value has been lost. You know, hey, listen, in real football, defenses are so important. Quarterbacks we've talked about this ad nauseum, so important. Yeah, in fantasy, for whatever reason, those two positions just completely interchangeable.
That's why I think your good scoring article last year, James. Hopefully it catches on more. We'll have to bring it back again some point this offseason, the 6-4 scoring and stuff.
I thought
like
it worked in our league.
It did. It worked out pretty well.
Because the teams that did have to wait and stream, you know, this Andy Dalton week one. Was that you?
That was me. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for bringing that back up. His 4 interception disaster.
Disaster. That was negative points.
Negative points. Yeah, I took negative points for my quarterback in week one.
You can't win that way.
No.
Which I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. So I'll bring back that quarterback.
Yeah, I might try and push some of those rules in my league of record because it's a league, like I said, that always wants the quarterbacks to be the most important. And I'll be like, this is how we do it.
This is how you do it.
Like, you guys want to make the quarterbacks the most important.
Yeah. Negative 4.
Here we
go. Those interceptions, baby. Let's go. All right, so that's your roster reset, NFL.com/roster reset. We just gave it a little fantasy spin, but the ATN guys do a really good job of basically reminding everybody of all the crazy changes that have happened in this off season. All right, let's get to Daily Daps. Daps.
Now we're talking about dog bites and dipping. Daps.
You know, if you like creepy rabbits, this movie's for you.
What kind of degenerate are you?
Godzilla is down there.
This is why I love this group of guys. We're like, whirlwind, there it goes, boom.
All right, Daily Dap time, Alex Gilhar. Get us kicked off.
Got a couple. I went to see A Quiet Place last night.
Great reviews. I haven't seen it.
It's
great
very,
reviews.
Very fun. Okay. I mean, it's fun in like a horror movie sense. Like,
sure,
you know,
sure.
It's spooky. It's well acted. It's got a cool idea. The premise, and it's one I would say, go see it in the theater, especially because of the premise and sort of gimmick. But, you know, the whole thing is if they hear you, they hunt you. It's these monsters that you can't make a sound because they're hypersensitive to it, and then they'll come kill you. And it's directed by John Krasinski, who was Jim from The Office. Starring his real-life wife, Emily Blunt, as well.
Oh, and they're married?
Yeah, yes, they're married.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're married for quite a while.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
But
I don't follow celebrity news.
It's a really fantastic little movie. Like, it's not perfect, but I came out, I really enjoyed it. There's some really great tension. I thought it's directed well. There's good characters. It's a cool idea that they execute on. So go see it. And like you said, the reviews are great. And
these are great.
I've seen the billboards for it, which if they hear you, they can hunt you, which I still believe is like a Krasinski Blunt parenting tip when they want their kids to be quiet for a while. Like, that's what they tell their kids. Like, hey, let's make a movie out of it.
So as my buddy said last night, we came out of the movie, said, I find it funny that John Krasinski made his career off of making funny faces on The Office and not saying anything. So he's exploding his directing career and features by making a movie where he doesn't say anything and makes faces the whole
time.
Awesome, man. Although different faces when you're protecting your family from scary monsters and when you're trolling Dwight Schrute. other quick daps. It was my good friend's bachelor party this past weekend up in like Arrowhead. So we just went and got a cabin. He wanted to have it low key, get some guys together, drink some beers, play some games, stuff like that.
Okay.
But so I made him a road trip playlist based on a bunch of his favorite bands, and I would scroll through all of his social media to find some other ones I might not have known of. And one that made it onto the playlist that I'm now a fan of is called 65 Days of Static.
65 Days
They are like hold on, let me pull them up again to get their description. But they're an instrumental band. And an instrumental experimental rock band from Sheffield, England. But it's got really good kind of just background music if you're working on something, writing, studying. Really, really dug their sound, and I was listening to them all day yesterday as well. So 65 Days of Static is a recommendation. And got a video game recommendation. One of my buddy's friends brought up his PS4 and had this game called Tower Fall Ascension. And it was great for the bachelor party because it was a 4v4 or like four-person free-for-all game.
Okay.
But it's like an 8-bit game. You've just got this one little square, but you're all these you're archers, and you're just jumping around shooting each other, and it's super simple. The controls are very simple, but it takes a lot of technique and finesse, and it became so fun. Like, we were all there slamming back beers playing this game. We built a bracket and had like a winner's bracket and a loser's bracket, and we're going through it. Like, we had poker and other things, but we devolved into playing this dumb game for like three hours one night. And I was like, that game was fun as hell, though. And it's an indie game, so like some guy, his company is called Matt Makes Games, and he developed this game.
That's great.
And sold it. And it's like $15, I think.
Wait,
on Steam.
Is it on a console? Or
you can get it on PS4, on
How
Xbox
were you guys
One,
playing
on,
it?
On the PS4. Four controllers. So
got it.
We're all sitting there and, you know, just tossing controllers back and forth. It's so super random. He said, he brought it up. He's like, hey, this is really fun. Like, we're like, all right, sure, what the hell, let's play it. And then 3 hours later, we're screaming at each other over this stupid game. And it's great. The last kill always does, the game will put a slow motion replay on it. So we were always watching those and, you know, commentating on them. But it's really fun. Towerfall Ascension. Give it a shot.
Towerfall Ascension. That's great. What is it with you and your buddies? Whenever you play video games, it always ends up being a tournament.
Well, that's just me. I am hyper competitive by nature.
Yeah.
And if we start playing them, the bracket becomes a great way if there's a big group of people, like with the Mario Kart tournament and stuff, to get everybody to play and to have the competition be on a fair and equal balanced sort of sheet.
I got you.
Instead of just like, you know, oh, the winners always stay and we'll just rotate the bottom people. That doesn't work out fairly if somebody's better at the game. So I just like having fair and balanced competition that also awards a clear winner.
I need an answer.
That's yes, Alex that Wilhelm. Is that is really why I always build brackets.
I like it. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, what do you got?
A couple things. One, the quick one today, boingboing.net had a video mashup of Mumra from Thundercats singing
Thundercats Ho.
ODB's Shimmy Shimmy.
What?
And look, if you don't,
I'm sorry, what?
If you don't at least giggle when you hear Mumra say, "Baby, I like it raw," like then you and I just can't be friends. I've never clicked so fast on a link before. I saw that. I'm like, yep, watching this video. It's great. It's like 2 minutes. It's hilarious. But my real dap, it's a dap and a request. One, dap to everybody who got in on round one of the 2018 NFL Draftapalooza name extravaganza that I put out last week.
Yes.
Where we are, speaking of brackets and tournaments,
brackets, baby.
And trying to figure things out definitively, we are going to determine the best name in the 2018 draft.
What's the leader in the clubhouse right now?
Right now, the chalk is on Equanimeous St. Brown. He's the number one overall seed in the tournament. Was an easy winner in the first round.
Wide receiver from Notre Dame.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
Correct. So he is right now the chalk favorite. He's the heavy favorite in this one.
It's pretty good.
The number one seeds all kind of got through pretty easily.
Okay. What are the one seeds?
Let's see. It's Vita Vea.
Yeah.
Equanimeous St. Brown.
See, now I was a little disappointed by the Vita Vea thing.
Well, only because I can't put his whole name on the graphic because it's a large, it's a long name.
That's what I was hoping.
A lot of people commented on that.
I see,
and I get it. Like,
yeah.
But it's so.
Yeah.
Equanimeous St. Brown.
Okay.
Vita Vea.
All right.
Hercules Mata'afa.
That's that defensive dude from
Washington State.
Yeah.
And Obanaya Okoronkwo from Oklahoma.
What?
In fact, we had Sooner on Sooner Violence because Okoronkwo faced off against Baker Mayfield in round one.
Well, that's going to be a slaughterhouse.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
But round one, I got a lot of great feedback, a lot of participation.
Give me a dark horse. What's your dark horse? Well, who do you like in this bracket, bro?
Let's see. St. Brown is the number one overall. I do think
Jeb Blazevich
is a big favorite. I was surprised by how well Gerhard DeBeer did in round one. But
his last name's DeBeer.
That Alex pointed out that his name has beer in it, so I should have been.
I think I voted for him.
What's his name? His name is Gerhard.
Gerhard DeBeer.
Gerhard of beer.
Of beer.
Of beer.
Yes,
that's his name.
That is his name.
Of beer.
So, but yeah.
Why not?
But thanks to everybody who jumped in, who participated, who retweeted it, who spread the word. Round two begins on Thursday.
Fight.
And we will go all the way. We will declare a winner on Thursday, April 26th, the first day of the draft. That is when we will decide who has the best name in the draft. So thanks, everybody, for jumping in.
Keep voting.
Tell two friends to tell two friends, and we'll make this
By the way,
work.
I enjoy your divisions, too.
So oh, yes.
Celebrating some cool names.
My region names.
I have the in the NFL now and from your.
Yes. So I have the Barkevious Mingo region.
Oh, lovely.
The Haha Clinton Dix region.
Which is a great name, too, because his first name is actually Haseen as well. So if you wanted to go either way, it's awesome.
The Algie Crumpler region.
Oh,
I always loved Algie Crumpler's name as a kid.
Although somebody pointed out that he might not even be the best crumpler. I mean, there's Carlester, his brother.
Carlester Crumpler? Was he in the NFL?
Carlester Crumpler?
He was a tight end in the NFL for a little bit.
Damn. Carlester Crumpler?
Carlester Crumpler.
Hell yeah.
And then my final one is the Weeb Eubank region.
Weeb Eubank.
Also, I'll forever hold LG Crumpler dear to my heart because he was one of my favorite targets when I'd play whatever Madden had Vic on the cover.
Oh, yeah.
We had that in the high school newspaper office on, like, PS2. And, like, when we didn't have crap to do, we'd just whoop each other in Madden. And if I ever played as the Falcons, I would just hit LG Crumpler all day. The Vic to Crumpler combo was unstopable.
So have him run that little short out route. Yep, he's in.
LG Crumpler never had so many 130-yard games in his life as he did when I was slinging the rock.
Love it, man. He was one of the first tight ends I ever drafted.
In fantasy?
Yes, in fantasy. He was not a great fantasy.
I love thinking back on some of the random players I drafted many, many years ago.
I just remember drafting him. And again, I just loved the name, too. Algie. I was like, this guy's name is really Algie? Like, for reals? Yes, but not a great fantasy tight end, as I found out later. I will give daily daps to the Mark Zuckerberg gifts.
My God. I was so distraught.
They are amazing.
I was so distraught yesterday because I was watching Liverpool, Manchester City, with Taylor Dapps to Liverpool as well, advancing to the semifinals in the Champions League. But the testimony was going on at the same time, and there was so much stuff happening on TweetDeck, but I was like, I can't pay attention right now. I have to watch the soccer game.
I mean, some of the questions they some of the questions they asked were just unbelievable. Like, bro, come on, man.
James, what was your favorite GIF or meme of Zuckerberg that came
out? It was, for me, when, who was it? Not Mitch McConnell. Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch had asked Zuckerberg legitimately, how do you guys make money because Facebook is free?
That one was great.
And there was a long pause. Like, how do I answer this without
making this guy look silly?
Without making this guy look like a complete clown. Which was not possible because that is, as Bryce Harper would say, that's a clown question. Zuckerberg answers by saying, we sell ads, sir. Yes. And then he smiled. And then he quickly lost his smile because I think he realized, like, okay, I probably shouldn't smile because I am.
The ads are the reason I'm here also.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of these senators did ask him very pointed and poignant questions, which were great. But the Orrin Hatch question was just, I mean, that had to have been the low point of that hearing, which was really, really funny. But the Mark Zuckerberg gifts that have emerged out of these hearings has been awesome.
Some of my other
man.
Favorites were when
awesome,
I think
man.
Lindsey Graham was grilling him on whether or not Facebook was a monopoly, and somebody actually photoshopped the Monopoly Man hat and mustache onto Zuckerberg in his testimony.
Oh,
and then there was the one that Claibon had found, I think, or you might have put it in there, Marcus, of Data from Star Trek: The Next Generation,
National
and
Siblings.
National
yes.
Sibling Day, and Zuckerberg. They
right.
looked like
yeah. There was
identical.
a lot of Zuckerberg is an android type of chatter
yes.
On the tweets as well, which is really fun. And yeah, man, it's so funny, man. Some of these games are just unbelievably funny. I just love it. I don't know why. I just do. I just do. Producer Christina. Close
What's
us
up?
Out. What do you got?
I'm actually double dapping A Quiet Place. I also
yes!
saw that this weekend.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it to. I didn't expect to like it as much because I thought it was like such a different type of movie.
Yeah.
Like no talking the entire time. But I think they did a really good job of
Wait.
It.
Wait, for real? So there's no talking though?
The movie's probably like, what would you say, like 92%?
Yeah.
No talk, like sign language and
yeah,
other.
I mean, I knew that
like,
was the
they
concept.
They like, you know, make gestures to each other. And, you know, I mean, there's sound,
That's
but
interesting.
They don't speak.
Very few
the
words.
The
very
sound
few.
Design is really cool in that movie
yeah.
too.
Okay.
Like one of their kids is actually deaf as well. And so you get kind of like sometimes things from her perspective in the world as well. And they shift the sound design and it's really, really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought it was a really cool movie, so I definitely double-dap that.
Okay.
Nice.
There you go. All right, well, that's the show for producer Christina, for MG, my guy Marcus Grant, and for the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, I am James Coe. We appreciate you listening. We will catch you next week. Hopefully, we can bring the great Adam Rank onto the show, making his
Do you think he's going to have anything to say?
It may just be an hour of Rank. That may be what it is. All right, we appreciate you listening. We'll catch you next week.